episode 92 of the TV Dudes podcast, recorded July 23rd, 2016. Stranger Things. Stranger Things.
Stranger Things.
Randy, it has been a hell of a week for us to try and cram in another episode.
I know.
There's just, I was like, I don't know if we're going to have any news. Oh, wait, there's Comic-Con. There's nonstop news.
Yeah, Comic-Con to the rescue. There's plenty to talk about.
Yeah, it's just like, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to have to kind of cull this list. I can't have everything be in the news. Yeah. But as we're recording, we're also going to end up hitting on the Marvel panel and Hall H. I'm like, okay, hopefully it's mainly movie stuff. Yeah. We're not going to hit any more TV stuff. Because I think Netflix already covered that, right?
Yeah, Netflix covered the Marvel TV stuff. And they also talked Age of S.H.I.E.L.D., so we'll get to all that stuff. But, you know, the nice thing is we're going to discuss Comic-Con, like comic news, with our special guest.
Who's that?
Oh, it's Martin Thomas.
Oh, okay. You guys do know it's me. I thought you thought I was Greg. So I'm glad. This is so less awkward than I thought it was going to be. All right. Yes.
Damn it,
God,
Martin.
God damn it. That would have been a better intro.
Martin, we are so excited to have you. It's been a long time since you've been on the show.
It's been a way long time, some years. But I'm happy to be here.
But you're pretty familiar with podcasting because I think you do a bit of that, right?
Yeah, I'll do a little bit here and there. I mean, you know, one or two, I guess three shows a week over at DoubleToasted.com.
So, yeah, you guys at Double Toasted are covering film and pop culture and television news and
some TV,
doing
but
a little bit of video game stuff?
Not a lot. Well, yes, there is a video game show. As a matter of fact, it's on right now.
Oh, yeah.
As we record this. But TV is something that we touch on just barely.
Like, you guys will talk about, like, Walking Dead every episode or something like that, right?
Yeah. Walking Dead and Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Because, hey, all the fans want to know about that.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'll have a special episode where we'll do, you know, a watch along or just dissect an episode, like a finale or something afterwards. But mostly TV we leave to you guys. It's your realm.
That's too kind. Do your fans know about us?
Maybe. You know what? They definitely do because, Grant, we've had you on the show several times.
This is true. I haven't been on in a while. But I have gone to your studio, and it's gorgeous.
You like it?
I really like your studio.
Well, it's almost as nice as this. I mean, the studio's modest. No. This Randy's place is cool. Like,
we are in a pure nerdatorium.
I mean, I feel like I'm going to get distracted from recording.
You start picking up comic and reading?
Yeah. Or my eyes will fix on some new action figure. I'm like, oh, whoa.
Yeah, this isn't so much a studio as the reason my kids can't go to college.
I feel like
That's
Belle.
Wonderful.
I feel like Belle in Beauty and the Beast. Right? I just want to like slide around the library looking at all these amazing books.
Our studio's modest, but I think probably the most impressive thing is what we do with the backgrounds.
Yeah, the video appeal. It's a great backdrop too. It just always pops.
Yeah.
And you guys have been picking up in the news a lot lately too.
Has it been lately?
Yeah, you guys did a Pokemon Go. A couple of you guys like dressed up in a Pikachu costume went downtown in Austin, and I was like, "That's so terrible! It's 100+ degrees every day."
Oh, yeah.
And he put on that outfit and walked around to like take pictures with people. It's like the worst thing I could imagine.
It was their idea.
I wiped my hands of this.
Well, it was one of these things where they rented the costume to bring into the studio for a gag. The gag went okay. It was nothing gangbusters. And like, well, we still have it for an extra day, so let's go out and do that. And Sammy Gonzalez, whose idea it was, he's from L.A., where it gets kind of hot.
Not humid, though.
But he's new to Austin. He's been here like 2 or 3 months. So he had no idea what he was getting himself into. But once he said it, it's like, sorry, dude, no backs.
Yeah, at least he didn't pass out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we did a Patreon episode last week with Mike Moody, who...
Good old Mike.
Yeah, you know him. And we talked about podcasting, actually, in our Patreon exclusive. And I thought that was kind of funny that we have you on this week, because you're kind of the reason I know about podcasting, let alone even got into it. I wasn't really familiar with podcasting until I met you, and I went on your show, on Leog.
Yeah, and it's funny because we were so, I mean, podcasting, it's one of these things where, like, we were doing this back when we were on Access TV, when there was no such thing as podcasting. We were just doing a show.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do Spill, where it's all animated reviews, and I think podcasting was just becoming a thing. And Cargill, see, Robert Cargill was the one who pushed for it. Just, he approached Corey just saying, like, hey, you know what? I got times on Sunday when I'm up late and you're up late. Let's do a podcast. And he was like, okay, that sounds like a good idea. Just some extra content
for
the site.
And then whatever happened to that guy?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you'll never hear from
him
again.
I'm surprised he's not at Comic-Con this weekend.
He probably is at Comic-Con that week.
He's not. He's at home writing. He's finishing up a book, I think.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah, I guess there has to be some point when you aren't soaking up the adoration of the fans where you do some actual work. from there, it became like, wow, this is such a thing that we start pouring more energy into the podcast and to the animated stuff. And now, as we're double toasted, it's pretty much what it is, although it's kind of a video element. We've come back full circle back to doing what we did at Access TV.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. We're happy to have you on here. This week we're talking about Stranger Things, folks, which if you haven't checked that out on Netflix...
Shame on you.
Shame on you, really.
Pause the show, watch all 8 episodes, come back.
We actually even gave you an extra week. It came out a week and a half ago. Or like,
yeah, why didn't you do your homework?
Yeah. So, get on it, guys. Okay, now that we've shamed our audience.
Like, that got so scoldy so fast.
We're the TV Dudes. I'm Grant.
I'm Randy.
And once again, we have our special guest, Martin Thomas.
Thanks,
and
guys,
before we get into all of the listener questions that we have, iTunes shoutouts. We actually got one from a new person over on iTunes. If you guys go there, you can give us a 5-star rating, write a little review. We'll read it here on the show. And this one this week comes from Kobo Fat. I hope I'm saying that correctly. Wrote, better than the sound of your car engine while stuck in traffic. Much better, in fact. That's the title. But that's not the review.
I'll take it.
The TV Dudes podcast is one of the podcasts I listen to help fend off the feeling of despair during my daily commute to work. I found that over the past year, not only have they introduced me to new shows I never would have given a second look to, such as Preacher, Terriers, iZombie, Happen Leonard, and Lost. You know what? I can't do this. I can't do it anymore, Randy. For years now, I've defended Lost, saying it was a wonderfully well-written show, blowing smoke up Damon Lindelof's tailpipe like, oh, man.
Oh, no.
Like he was a hot air balloon, and my praise was keeping him afloat. Well, no more, Randy. You were right. You were always right. Your one true love of a TV show is the pinnacle of visual storytelling. It is our generation's odyssey. So today, for all our listeners to bear witness, I pledge to join you in your weekly viewings of Netflix's Real Rob. All hail Rob. All hail the TV Dudes.
You monster. Know,
thank you very much, Kobo Fett, for that review.
We should explain this to Martin.
We did say that they could write whatever they want and we'll read it.
Yep. Uh-huh.
All right. What just happened?
So there's a running joke that... Since we started talking, we talked about the show Real Rob on Netflix.
There's a show called Real Rob?
Rob Schneider show.
Oh, I was afraid that's what you were going
to
say.
I'm so sorry to have to be the one to let you know that this exists. But yeah, there's a show, Rob Schneider original on Netflix called Real Rob. We made fun of it at one point when it was in the news. And
I think you went on a pretty hateful rant, actually.
Okay, whatever. Hateful rant, whatever. But since then, there's been a running gag that I have to be the guy who covers Real Rob for Netflix, and I secretly love Real Rob. And rewatch it every week.
Uh-huh.
So that's
an unrelenting gag.
It's an unrelenting gag. But it's taking the place of the milk gag and some of the other gags. So I'm fine with a new gag for a while. So.
But in addition, you're probably well aware of my love of Lost.
Sure.
And so to put words in my mouth since I read these, he had me make fun of Lost.
See, for a second there, because he mentioned Terriers, I thought he was going to be putting you on my Terriers train, which you're already on. You like Terriers.
Once it switches to... I can't do this anymore, Randy.
I know.
Suddenly that's my voice. I'm like, aw, man. I'm saying this. That's diabolical. Thank you very much, Kobo Fett.
It's great. It's fantastic.
And once again, to the rest of you listeners, if you guys want to help us out, please go to iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating, write a review. Only takes you guys a second. Helps us gain visibility on the store. And we really appreciate it.
And as you can see, we will read anything you write.
We will. All we Even want if is it those, catches us off guard.
All we want is those 5 stars.
What do you guys got in the store?
Well, just iTunes store, the general podcast. Gotcha.
The ratings on iTunes are so helpful to getting the podcast up there, you know, so.
Yeah.
Over on patreon.com/TVDudes, that's where you guys can go to actually financially support the show. And you guys have been awesome.
Yeah, we really appreciate it.
We've been getting people each week, and this is, like, really humbling. It's awesome. And we want to thank Marvin A. Lanier this week for signing up on Patreon, which I thought he'd had before, but I don't know. Maybe it was over on the iTunes, I remember.
Maybe.
And he always asks us questions. Anyway, thank you so much. And we want to say, if you guys do sign up for Patreon at patreon.com/TVDudes, we do bonus exclusive content each week. And this week, we're going to be talking about Comic-Con.
Yeah, and also, there's going to be extra bonuses for Patreon listeners. Like, they might get early access to Beach Cop Detectives, my Terriers podcast.
You're doing a Terriers podcast?
I know. I should mention it.
You should. Yeah. Three times an episode.
We're now four episodes recorded. It's getting edited down. It's working good. And planning to release at the end of the summer. And Patreon listeners will get an early shot at it.
How exciting.
Will you have more episodes of your podcast than there were of the TV show?
I will have exactly as many episodes as there were of the TV show.
All right, well, let's move on to listener questions here. So if you guys like us on Facebook and on Twitter, you guys can ask us a question once a week. And our first question comes to us from Kyle Volte, who says, given that they've brought us fare like Daredevil and Jessica Jones, but also Real Rob, how excited are you when you hear a series will be on Netflix?
I'm still pretty excited.
Ditto. Yeah. Strike rate's so good.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, the Real Robs. Like, okay, a thing about something like Real Rob, you can see that coming a mile away.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way you accidentally stumble into that show.
Mm-hmm. I stumbled into Flaked. Oh. I thought, oh, I'm going to try this Will Arnett show, Flaked. It'll probably be good. I like Will Arnett.
I like Will Arnett, too. But he has a poor track record with TV shows.
He really does.
Yeah, I wasn't going to watch that one either because, yeah, Arnett is generally not a sign of quality. Although, BoJack Horseman's running right now, and that is actually good. So.
BoJack and Arrested Development. Yeah. Those are the anomalies.
So, are you guys not into the increasingly poor decisions of Todd Margaret?
I never actually watched it.
I never saw it either.
Oh, man. I wanted you to watch that show so badly. I loved it.
What was it?
It's David Cross as he's an American. He gets sent on a business trip to London. And he's a pathological liar. I mean, he's in trouble. He's trying to lie his way through things. And he's really terrible at it. And people just kind of stand back and just let him hang himself most of the time. And Will Arnett comes in every so often as his foul-mouthed boss who sent him there. And will just get on the phone and cuss him out in the most creative ways. Like the way they write on Veep. And it's a bizarre show. That I love the show, although the ending is way too dark for what it is. And it's not, it's a mean show all the way through, but the ending you go, well, God damn you guys. But I at least watch the first episode.
Is this a Netflix show?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, right. No, I take it back. I think it is
on Netflix.
I think I saw it on IFC but it's also on okay. Netflix.
But yeah, Netflix, I mean, Netflix's track record is so good. Like all the Marvel stuff they've done has been good.
Mm-hmm.
Then they drop something we don't expect, like Stranger Things.
Sure.
Came pretty much out of nowhere and was great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And spoilers later in the show. It's great. but yeah, they've got such a good track record with what they drop that I'm still excited every time they get something, especially when it's a property like they're doing that Cyberpunk show that I can't remember the name of it. We've talked about it. Not Burning Chrome. I don't remember.
I don't recall either.
There's a Cyberpunk show that they've got in development and some other things. And every time they get something announced, I'm thinking it's going to be the good version of it.
Well, they did such a great job with right out the gate coming out with House of Cards and Orange is the New Black, and it caught everybody's attention.
Yeah.
So then, rather than putting out something lame, they kept following that up with good stuff. So when they come out with something bad, you go like, "Yeah, but that's okay. It's still
Hemlock
good brand to me.
Grove, that's fine. Yeah. I can just skip that."
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like AMC. AMC started their original programming really with Mad Men.
Yeah.
And that puts you in a place where you can have numerous failures before people start to doubt you.
Right.
Well, and that's the other thing. They are definitely trying to diversify what they create to expand their audience. They're making Fuller House for a very specific audience.
True.
Are they the ones doing the Gilmore Girls revival too?
Yeah.
I mean, that's for a particular audience.
Yeah.
And they are big heroes of mine for their exclusive deal with Adam Sandler. because
keeping him away from everything else,
keeping him out of the theaters. As a movie critic, I have to see everything that comes out. So this means as long as he's putting his stuff straight to Netflix, I don't have to watch it.
But what about us, Martin? What about us?
Oh, well, sorry, guys.
We don't have to either.
Here
are the TV dudes. We just pick whatever we want to watch. All right, next question. Actually, this comes on the heels of talking about Stranger Things. Benjamin Hamill says, if Stranger Things continues, what would you want to see in a second season? Would you want to see a direct continuation of this season or something closer to like an anthology series? And, you know, we're definitely going to be talking about that in our TV discussion.
Yeah.
But I did want to say that, yes, they've renewed this for season two.
They did?
Yes.
Oh, I really like it ending where it did, the end of the story.
Well, I'm sorry for the disappointment for you. I'm excited.
I am also excited. I actually think, I mean, I did like the idea of it being a self-contained thing, but the 80s does have a tradition with its horror movies and its kid movies of having sort of some kind of sequel.
Yes, usually a much inferior sequel.
Yes, that's actually true.
But they're also keeping most of the cast, so that I don't think it's going to be an anthology.
It's not going to be an anthology. And the thing is, I would in general prefer the anthology format for sequels, but for Stranger Things,
I want more of this town.
I want to see what they're going to do. I mean, I'm nervous they're going to fuck it up because I don't think you need more. But at the same time, I'm curious where that last little tease is going to go.
Yeah.
But I don't want to spoil anything here, so I won't say too much about it.
Well, okay, we'll get into that in a bit. Okay. Next question comes from Dennis McElwain, who says, are there any songs that you started to love because of TV shows? I really enjoy Like a Friend by Pulp. It was used in Venture Brothers during the Operation Prom.
Oh, you know what? There was a song. Okay, I know you guys aren't caught up on Mr. Robot, but you did see the first episode of the second season.
Of course, yeah.
And there's that song that played...
The Phil Collins song?
No, Amid the Flowers. I mean, the Phil Collins song. I'm not a Phil Collins hater.
But
Amid the Flowers. You can only find the song on YouTube.
Wow.
But it just kept playing. And I was like, this might be the greatest song I've ever heard in my life.
You know, Chuck, when it was on, did a really good job of introducing me to a lot of music I liked. As same as the OC, because it's the same guy, I think. But one of the things it really does is The Americans gives me an appreciation for songs I already know when they use them, and it takes on an ad. It's like a good music video. It adds something to it.
Deutschland 83 did that really well, too.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this song is now so German. Who knew that Nina's 99 Left Balloons was German? I'm kidding. Everyone knew that one was German. There was a song that was in The Blacklist that maybe it's a theme song. I should know, but I didn't watch the show enough.
Yeah.
But it's a Sugar in My Coffee song.
Okay.
And I immediately had to go and download that.
Can you hum it?
Sugar in my coffee.
Huh. Because I watched The Blacklist all the time. And
maybe it was in the pilot episode.
Okay.
But I remember I was like, ooh, I really like that song. And so I had to go and download that right away.
Do you guys remember Jeff Goldblum's show where he was like a detective who was a little bit crazy?
10 Speed. Oh, no. No, no, not that one. Yes, because he, I can't, Long something? I just know he did that show right before he went to Law and Order.
Yeah.
And I love that
Rake?
Show.
No, not Rake.
That was Greg Kinnear.
But there was a trailer for that show.
Yeah.
That used a... Oh man, what was the name of the band? It was "Don't Tell Me I'm Gonna Live My Life." Don't tell me. Oh shit, I can't remember the name of the song anymore. But I know that after just using it in the trailer, that song was on my playlist for weeks.
Uh-huh.
I've utterly forgotten it, other than knowing that I liked it. But every so often, something like just the ones they use for trailers or little bits of background.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where I discover music these days.
Yeah, it's true.
I've been listening to a lot of the band Survive. One that does the theme song for Stranger Things. So, music is very effective in TV and getting me to listen to a lot more of what they do.
Yeah,
those people are also from Austin. Did you know that?
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, I just heard that the other day.
So this next question, I'm glad now you are aware of the real Rob.
That's why
running joke.
Uh-huh.
Real Rob fan club asks us this next question. Salutations, all powerful recommenders of the real Rob. I have an important question. So I was relaxing at home watching season one of Real Rob on repeat with my Rob Schneider body pillow by my side when something dawned on me. Something truly tragic. People probably think I have a problem due to my love of Real Rob and all things Schneider. At first, I was ashamed, but then I thought, Well, fooey on them. They're the ones that are the problem. So my question is, are you proudly a fan of something that others might think is strange? Now, excuse me while I go work on my fan fiction for the Hot Chick 2.
Robot Fan Club is always one of my favorite questions of the week.
I swear, like, at some point you're going to reveal that you've been writing these questions to us.
I'm nowhere near that clever. I feel like I've got guilty pleasures. I'm trying to think of like one that's particularly
Two Broke
weird.
Girls.
Like,
you love that show.
I do love Two Broke Girls as much as I love Real Rob. That's true. Yeah. I mean, most of them are movies like Speed Racer, which is not that weird, but some people, I really love Speed Racer.
I don't like you because you like that
you
movie.
Love it?
I love Speed Racer. I've watched that
if you
so
said
many
I,
times.
I like it, I go like, yeah, okay, that
no,
I guess.
I loved it. It was everything I wanted out of that movie.
I feel like you never watched the cartoon for you to say that.
I did not watch much of the cartoon. Oh, okay. I did not like the cartoon. Okay.
I feel like you've never watched like a good movie. That ranks up there.
I mean, the shows I like are things like things that are like Space Above and Beyond. I actually really like.
Yeah.
Which is I'm sure not as good as I thought it was when I was younger and watched it, but I've rewatched some of it. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this kind of holds up for me.
Yeah.
And there's stuff like that, Max Headroom, but I think that's legitimately good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of anything weird. It's do you have anything, Martin, that you...
I don't know what about weird. Like there's a show that I love, and it's a popular show, so I can't call it weird. But I know that somebody in this room absolutely hates it.
Oh, is it The Walking Dead?
No, it's Gotham.
Gotham?
Yeah.
Do I absolutely hate it?
No, Randy does.
No, I don't anymore, because now I'm kind of curious to go back to it.
I mean, honestly, like, yeah, in the first season, it was such a toss-up between stuff that was god-awful and stuff that was brilliant and stuff that was okay.
Yeah.
And as the seasons kept going, the ratio started to shift to where the good stuff increased and the bad stuff became smaller. And every so often, when you least expect it, it would do something so brilliant. You're like, wow, I did not see that coming. That's the biggest thing about that show is it is like... You just don't know where it's going to go. And sometimes it's just completely apeshit.
Yeah.
But they pull it out in the end. So often I'm watching it and I just think, I honestly do. I watch it and I think, man, I wish Randy would give this another chance.
I will. There's two problems. One is that I don't know where to jump back in.
Uh-huh.
And the other is that it's 22 episodes. And man, that's hard these days. 22 episode shows.
Yeah, that's true.
Read Wikipedia, jump in on season two.
I might have to jump in on season three, but then I have to keep Hulu, and who knows if that's going to happen. But yeah, you and Tim Doyle both been sort of singing the praises of Gotham season two, and I'm like, oh man, I may have to go back to this at some point. So
yeah,
it's on the list. My hatred is dimmed.
Okay, well, I feel better about the world at this point.
And if you guys heard that iTunes shout out, I think you know the one thing that I'm unapologetically in love with, and that's Damon Lindelof and other people. Are a little bit mixed on the guy, apparently.
Mm. Oh, I do have one question.
I don't think that guy makes any mistakes.
Semi-related to this, though. Where were you guys on Aaron Sorkin's last one, The Newsroom? I can't remember where we landed on that.
I ultimately liked it.
Me too.
I didn't give it a chance.
Oh, okay.
I watched the first episode. I was turned off by the characters, mm-hmm. and I never really went back.
Okay.
And the characters don't change.
They don't. I mean, everything that's good about the first episode is in it, and everything that's bad about it is in that first episode, too. It's like... I went through a love-hate thing with that for the whole thing, but on balance, in the end, I was like, you know what? Unlike, say, Studio 60, I think by the end, I kind of wound up liking it.
And see, what you're saying right now is what I heard from a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because to me, like, the opening of it, that first episode was really strong.
Yeah.
Hooked me. But the longer it went on, the more I just got Studio 60 flashbacks. And yeah. I was like, I can't do this again.
Yeah. And some weeks it felt like Studio 60, and some weeks it felt like... Not quite West Wing, but getting closer to that pinnacle. Yeah, it's not one of these I'd recommend to people, but I will say that if someone's like, what do you think of it? I can say, yeah, I like Newsroom.
All right, well, let's move on to our very last question. This one comes from Zach McLernan, who says, the new trope of revival TV, for example, reviving a show after a number of years of being off air or upgrading from miniseries to full, seems to be catching on. However, it has some bad examples. One might include Wayward Pines, awful second season, Fuller House, or Heroes Reborn. Are there any of late that strike y'all as terrible, and how does that bode for the imminent revival of Twin Peaks?
Aren't they mostly terrible?
Strike us as the heroes were born.
I mean,
was a great example of a terrible one.
I honestly can't think of any that have been great. The X-Files, the X-Files return was not great.
I thought it was mixed.
It was mixed, but it had like one really good high point and a lot of really low points. And on balance, it was pretty bad.
Arrested Development, when it came back, it had some problems.
I still like it, but it's
I liked it. Yeah. But it wasn't glowing praise from critics and fans alike.
Right.
Yeah, actually, I can't think of anything where they brought it back and it was good.
The Killing. When they brought that back for that fourth season over on Netflix, I don't know if that counts as being brought back because it wasn't like gone for that long.
It sort of does. I mean, it was canceled, moved to another network, and came back. That's pretty much in the ballpark.
Okay. That last season I thought was pretty good. And that's for, like, I don't like these sour, melancholy shows like that. They just like want to wallow in pain and misery. So, but I thought it was a pretty good season.
So maybe that's the secret, that you have to take a show that was not great in the first place and when the revival's better. But the problem with that is then Heroes Reborn should have been amazing.
that was the odd thing about Heroes, because by the time it left, everybody had hated it.
Yeah, nobody wanted that show back.
Nobody wanted it back.
And certainly not with the same creator.
Right. So for them to bring it back, it's like, okay, you must be bringing it back because you got some brand new ideas and a way to revive it. And it's like, nope.
Not so much. Not so much.
Or maybe an apology letter to the people. Nope, none of that either.
Yeah.
So are you guys excited for Twin Peaks then?
I'm not a big Twin Peaks guy, to be honest.
Yeah, I was really into Twin Peaks the first season when it was a thing to be into. Yeah. And the longer it went on, the more I was like, I don't care about the mystery anymore.
Stay tuned for our Stranger Things review.
Sorry.
All right, so Comic-Con news, all kinds of announcements about renewals. Let's start with the easy ones, which is Netflix presentation.
Yes.
And I said on Facebook that I think, and I wasn't at San Diego, obviously, I think what may have happened is that they got up in front of the crowd and they said, "Hi, everybody. We're just going to show you everything Randy wants for the next year."
Since he can't be here.
Because, seriously.
Shout out to Randy.
Voltron Legendary Defender Season 2 was announced. So awesome. I know, Martin, you're working your way through that now.
Yes, I am. Me and my kids, we got to where we'll only watch it together.
Yeah.
So that's why it's taken so long to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in Costa Rica for 3 weeks, so I'm going to have to wait until I can finish it. But yeah, really enjoying it. You know, when I was told it was the team that worked on Last Airbender and Korra, I was like, okay, I'm in. Just seeing that the name, like the I guess showrunner or head lead director is Joaquin DeSantos.
Yeah.
He did like so many of the best episodes of those shows, and G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Oh, I forgot that was him.
Yeah, that was
him.
That
was a great little movie.
Also, I think if you go back and look at some of the best of the Batman the Animated Series episodes, the later ones.
Yeah, it's so they're doing a season 2 of that, which is great. Great, you've watched some of that. I don't remember how much you've seen.
I only watched the pilot, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I thought it was surprisingly funny. It had great pacing to it. So, yeah, I guess I need to watch more.
By the way, Martin, Costa Rica? I usually send my kids to their room. What did they do? For 3 weeks? I mean, they must have been really bad. Okay, other Netflix news. We got a ton of trailers. Did you guys see all the trailers?
I mean, a lot of them were real short. They're all the teasers. Marvel ones.
Yeah. I only saw Luke Cage and Iron Fist.
Yeah, and the teaser for Defenders was basically just all the logos being torn. It was used a Nirvana song.
Yeah,
it was a great little just a reminder that hey, we're doing this.
Uh-huh.
Don't you love us for this?
Yeah,
and I do. I really do. But the Iron Fist trailer. Let's talk about the Iron Fist trailer first.
Okay.
I liked this. I thought it was a good sort of mood setting trailer.
Yeah.
It was very short, just a little teaser.
Yeah.
So you get him as a kid being abandoned in Asia on the hills of wherever, Kunlun.
Yep.
Kunlun?
Yeah.
And then he comes back, he's locked up, and he punches through a wall.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, cool.
But I've seen so many teasers that weren't even that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, like what, just Daredevil's logo being set on fire or something.
Yeah.
Like,
or like a silhouetted fist just starting to glow or something. And yeah. Like, oh, Iron Fist. Like,
I would have loved if they'd shown us the Iron Fist, though. But I understand. You don't have to do that.
You gotta hold it. Yeah.
You hold it
save
back.
Save something.
Then there was a Luke Cage one, though, which we're getting much closer to. How great was that trailer?
Oh, yeah.
It was badass.
It was. Yeah. I tell you, they are big on hallway fights in this universe.
Well, I loved him using a car door as a shield.
No, that was the best moment. And he's wrapping the guy at a car door, and the guy's like, oh, come on, man.
and he needed the shield, but he just needed it to get through the door, I guess.
Yeah.
And also, talking about music.
Yeah.
The Wu-Tang song, that was perfect. Yeah. It was so good. And I saw one of my friends who works in comics retail. She was talking about it. And she said, this is kind of, if you look at the moment we're in, like, look what he's wearing.
Uh-huh.
Look at someone shooting at him and the bullets bouncing off. It's such the hero we need right now.
Yeah.
And I think that we're going to get that out of Netflix, which I'm really excited to see.
I also really like the bad guy, the villain in this.
Remy?
Yeah, Remy from House of Cards. Yeah. I'm like, yeah. I always just love whenever he's saying a line, he's got such a good gravel voice. I'm like, yes, you're a good bad guy.
I'm super excited for this, and that trailer was another great trailer from them. They also announced that Daredevil's getting a season 3.
We're good. Yeah. I assume so.
In unsurprising news.
I mean,
awesome.
I mean, if they want to surprise us, they'll announce when the Punisher series is happening.
Yeah, actually, that won't be a big surprise either, though. We know that's happening.
And now, are they doing a Jessica Jones, too?
Yes, they have said they're doing Jessica Jones, too, I believe.
Okay.
And where's our Moon Knight? Where's our Moon Knight series?
That's what I want. That's what I'm waiting on.
But we did get confirmation of another superhero.
Yes, a little less exciting because it's not Netflix.
But yeah.
Ghost Rider is coming to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 4.
Say what?
Yeah, Robbie Reyes, Ghost Rider, the guy who's he can turn any vehicle into the Ghost Rider, so he like a muscle car. He's a Hispanic dude. He's got a brother who's in a wheelchair. He's like a street racer.
Wait, is this the series that was done with the artist from Luther Strode?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm weirded out about Ghost Rider being on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah,
that is a
because
weird
he's
place
a very
character.
Violent character for a very tame show.
Well, and also because that it just feels like a weirdly spiritual, supernatural thing to put into a show that's not about that.
And they're gonna lame it up. ABC.
Oh, they're
is
totally
just gonna
screw
lame
it.
Everything up.
I'm disturbed because they're putting on a show that I had just decided I wasn't gonna keep watching anymore.
Yeah, me too. I made that decision, and now I'm mildly curious to go back and see what they do, but
I just
sure
feel like they're gonna make the Nicolas Cage version look good. What's gonna happen.
Yeah,
I don't think that's possible.
Believe in ABC. It's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
man,
that would be a feat in itself.
Yeah that was the rumors have been floating around about this for a while, and they announced the actor. I don't know who the actor is. I don't know his name. I didn't know his name. I don't remember it right now.
Our friend Aaron, I think, knows the guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think he's buddies with him.
Oh, so. Well, we should get him on here and interview about how bad the show's going to suck. Maybe not.
Hopefully he can make some other side deals real quick before it gets canceled.
Okay, a little more comic TV news. Deadly Class is heading to TV, courtesy of the Russo brothers.
Really?
Yeah. So
the Russo brothers are to TV as Spielberg is to film.
Yeah.
Links to every project. Yeah.
Okay. They're executive producers, but the series has been written by Rick Remender, who's the show's the comics creator, alongside Miles Feldsot. I don't know who that is, but Banshee's Adam Targum is serving as showrunner.
Wow.
So explain to me what Deadly Class is.
So Deadly Class is about a secret academy that trains young people how to be deadly assassins.
Okay.
So they sort of pick up street kids and take them in and give them a place to belong, and the place they belong is a place to go out and murder other people.
So a bunch of Electras.
Sort of, yeah. I mean, it's got that.
Or Arya Starks.
Ah, yeah.
But
they're going to make it more interesting. It's Arya Stark being blind forever.
No, actually, it's 12 episodes of all the kids being blind. Just wandering around, bumping into walls, being beaten with staffs.
I've only read the first issue, but love it.
Yeah.
And now that I'm subscribed to the Comixology Unlimited,
yeah,
I see that the first volume is there. So it's like the next thing in my queue to, read.
I've also only read the first couple issues, and I kept meaning to get back to it because I liked it a lot, but haven't gotten back to it. But I've heard good things about the later ones. And yeah.
Good.
It's a good premise for a TV show. What I don't know is if it has a network yet.
Oh,
it looks
that was
like
be my next question.
It looks like it's in development, set up at Sony Pictures TV. So I don't know if I don't know which network Sony owns or if there's one that's more likely to be at. I assume if they're going to do Dead of the Class right, that it's going to be on at least like FX or AMC, and probably on pay cable.
Yeah,
But we'll see.
Maybe Stars or Crackle.
Crackle. You know what's funny about Crackle, though?
What's that?
They got Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, which is a great show.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you could only watch that online.
No, that's on Crackle.
I thought you could only watch it for free on YouTube like I do.
But that's where it comes from, is Crackle.
Oh, my God.
That's the that's their claim to fame.
Cut it out, Crackle. Yeah. You're not making it happen.
Nobody's buying it.
All right. And then we just watched the American Gods trailer.
Yeah, so you guys are a bit more familiar with, this is a Neil Gaiman book.
Yeah.
Gaiman. And I'm not familiar with this, so when I watch that trailer, I'm just going, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, I read it so long ago. Watching the trailer just kind of had to remind me of what
it was. It's so increasingly weird as the trailer goes on. I'm like, wait, what the fuck?
Well, it's Brian Fuller, which makes sense.
Mm. And oh, is he actually sort of weird.
Yeah,
like
Brian
running
Fuller's
it?
Show running it.
Yeah, you didn't see that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the guy who's playing Shadow Moon, I don't know him, but he looks good.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it's Ian McShane playing Mr. Wednesday, who I don't want to give away for anyone who hasn't read the book who he is, but... it's a cool character.
Is he Satan?
He's not Satan.
Okay.
Just look up the origin of the word Wednesday.
Yeah, you'll get it.
You'll get it.
Mm.
You know, Ian McShane. That is right. Right.
Yeah, it's Ian McShane.
Yes, yes. Sorry, I was confusing him with the character he used to play. he's perfect for his role in this, and it does look like it's going to be good. It's weird to me when I see a production of a novel I've read, whether it's a movie, but especially a TV show, because TV shows just have such a slick look to them. And in my head, when I'm reading it, it's never that. I'm picturing real life, not how it plays on a small or even a big screen.
Oh, that's an interesting point, because something I was watching, I was having that sort of that feeling, and I couldn't put my finger on it. That's what it is. Yeah, it's when it plays in your head, it doesn't look the way it looks on the screen.
Yeah.
But that's very much Brian Fuller putting his visual spin, like him and his cinematographer. I mean,
although this wasn't as quite as weird looking as say Hannibal or Pushing Daisies or one of those. It's stylized but in a different way.
True, and I mean our next bit of news is also going to be Brian Fuller.
Yep,
and that's why I was like, I'm not really seeing his mark of his style, but hopefully his storytelling is still present.
Yeah, I think it will be. So yeah, the next bit of news: the Star Trek trailer is here.
Ooh,
or so they say.
It's just a teaser.
It's just the.
You see the ship coming out and kind of going through, and then the logo pops up.
But the name of the show now is Star Trek Discovery, and the ship is called the USS Discovery.
Okay, that makes sense.
And that, for me, is an indicator of what I want, which is I want them doing exploration, not blowing stuff up as much.
Right. But if they have to blow some things up every so often.
Every now and then, sure.
So during the panel at Comic-Con today, I guess William Shatner was there attending as well. I think they had a lot of the old captains from the other shows there.
Okay.
And Brian Fuller was like asking him, hey, if we brought Kirk back to life, would that be something you're interested in? And of course, Shatner's like, oh, yes. But I didn't know if that was supposed to be a tease for like maybe they actually do want to try and do that in the show.
Yeah, they'll bring Kirk back to life, but they'll get Chris Pine to play the role.
That's really great that you'd want to do that, but we do have a good Chris Pine over here.
It does. Fuller does say that they're telling a 13-chapter story, so they're telling one big story, so they're going to do a little more arc, which I don't think Star Trek's really done. Even Deep Space Nine was not super heavy arc storytelling.
Right, right. And it was the 22-episode model. So,
yeah.
But with 12, you can do that.
Yeah. I'm excited to see that. He also mentions going to be continuing the tradition of progressive casting, progressive character work, to be an inclusive world. That is the liberal equivalent of dog whistle politics when they're telling us not everybody's going to be white dudes.
Uh-huh.
And I'm cool with that. I think that's a good idea. Like, maybe they should show that there aren't going to be all white people in the future. I think that's a really promising thing.
Uh-oh.
I mean, I love the idea of a show where there's no white people in the future.
Yeah, I think the Matrix was trying to tell you guys that there will be black people in the future.
Yeah.
They might even be running some things, just saying.
But I'm excited for the new Star Trek. I haven't quite made that switch where I'm going to go ahead and buy the All Access Pass to watch it.
There's a what?
It's only on CBS All Access.
Oh, that's right. Somebody was telling me that the other day.
It's going to be on their. It's their way to try to sell you their streaming service.
Oh wait, you have to buy it.
You have to buy $3.99 a month, something like that, for CBS All Access.
I'm sorry, CBS has too many duds.
That's the problem. There's not, and the stuff I've gotten into, like, I wound up liking Supergirl. It's on the CW now.
Yeah.
I wound up kind of liking what I saw of Limitless. It got canceled.
Yeah.
I wound up liking Person of Interest. It's over. Like, I don't know what they have to offer me. I tried CBS. I tried.
You come out to the parking lot after this. I'll show you a little secret way to watch these shows.
Oh, no. Fool me once.
Guys, there is a new show over on Netflix called Stranger Things, and if you haven't watched it, please stop this episode and go watch it, because we're going to talk entire spoilers about this amazing show. It's only 8 episodes.
Wait, I haven't seen it.
Oh, shit. All right. Martin, I got bad news. We're going to spoil the shit out of you on this show.
Quick break. All right, we're back.
All right, wow, that was awesome.
Okay. Right? Wasn't it amazing?
Okay, so this kind of caught us all by surprise. This is a sci-fi mystery horror set in the 80s in a small sleepy town that's very it's like
Indiana, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it takes place in 1983.
Yep.
It's very Spielberg and John Carpenter
and Stephen King.
Yeah, all of them had a baby together.
I looked at it. I was like, oh, it's like Steven Spielberg made a Stephen King movie and had John Carpenter make the music.
Yeah.
And it was like, it just has this feel of like some lost movie from 1983 that somehow everybody didn't see and it just got unearthed.
I watched the intro and I was like, huh, this is kind of interesting. Like, it immediately feels familiar. It feels like E.T. It feels like Goonies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Whenever you have little kids riding a bike through a small town in the 80s, you're like, okay, that's immediately what you think of. But I was like, all right, I'm kind of interested in this. But as soon as that intro and sequence hit with just the text and like the neon and like the design of it, all of it feels very John Carpenter, but also feels like a Stephen King like title.
Very very much so. The covers
music.
Of some of the novels,
yeah,
or how some of the cheaper movies would open with that, the synth music and the lit up letters. It's funny how many episodes will go 15 or 20 minutes before they put the intro title up.
Yeah.
Like you're way deep in it and it's suddenly, oh yeah, here's the title of the show. You're like, what? I thought it was over already.
You guys tricked me. How much more of this episode do I have?
Well, I started watching this. The buzz was already getting out there. I was like, oh, this is great. I hadn't gotten any spoilers, but I was like, oh, I need to sit and watch this.
Mm-hmm.
So I came home. It was like midnight. I was coming home from something and my daughter was in my office watching something else. And I said, okay.
Turn it off.
I said, get out of here.
And I let her stay. She's usually in bed before then.
Yeah.
And I let her stay up and watch it with me.
Yeah.
So she watched the first two episodes with me. No, first three, because we stayed up to like 3 a.m. watching.
Yeah. Oh,
and I turned to her and I'm like, this is what every movie was like when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
This is pretty much what movies look like when I was a kid. And she loved it so much so that when I came home the next day to watch the rest with her, she's like, oh, I already watched the rest of it.
That's pretty perfect.
Well, I could totally see you inviting your daughter to watch it with you just because it starts out, it's like, it's so much more Spielberg-y in the first two episodes.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know how deep the horror element is going to get at that point. It just seems like, oh, a bunch of, you know, nerdy buddies on bicycles find an alien and they befriend it. It's E.T. This is going to be fun. And then the more it goes on, you're like, oh, dear Lord. Especially, I'd say, like, the end of the third episode, I got choked up.
Oh, yeah.
At the, we're spoiling.
Yeah, we're spoiling.
Okay. Just the
body?
Search, the search for, for the missing kid, for Will, and then to find the body. Yeah. I was undone.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I didn't feel, and this is something I've kind of brought up a few times now, like now that I have kids, I find that I'm much more susceptible to like emotional reaction with anything that has to do with kids. But in the eighth episode, when David Harbour, by the way.
Oh, God.
Oh.
How amazing.
Where
is
that gem of an actor? He was Elliot in Newsroom.
He was Elliot in Newsroom, yeah.
He's been around forever. He's always had these small parts. Usually,
he's always a side guy.
Well, he's a side guy, but I always thought of him as like the American Sean Bean, because he would get punked in everything he'd be in. He's in The Equalizer and Black Mass and just so many different TV shows. I think he played a killer on Law & Order on two or three episodes.
Yeah.
But this is that role of a lifetime. For him, it's like his big breakout where he gets to show, like, hey, this is what I could do if you just give me a chance.
And he's fantastic,
he's so good. But the stuff with his daughter,
I love that they held on until the very last episode because you get that he lost his daughter, but you don't really understand how. And I think showing that in conjunction, like how with like the search for Will, it just really made it like emotionally resonate for me, especially. I was just like, ugh, well, such a gut punch.
It would have been cheap if he had lost his daughter like an abduction or something.
Oh yeah.
So it was better that it was something that was not a mystery. It wasn't a mystery. It's not like he didn't know what happened to her.
Yeah.
It's a parallel so that he can feel like relief when he, you know, some catharsis when he rescues Will, but it's not like he's rescuing his daughter or something like that.
Right.
It's more about, you know, he knows what this mom is going through and he actually gets to help her with it in a way that no one could have helped him with his.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought that was just amazing and he did such great work with that.
And I mean, Winona Ryder is also fantastic.
Yeah, she really is. I mean, you hadn't even thought about her in forever.
Yeah, I love that. It was like Winona Ryder in here and Matthew Modine. It was like, they're really getting these like powerhouses from the 80s to be in this show. But at first I was like, oh, she has to be relegated to just like the worrying mom role. And I was very like pleased to see that she takes a very active role in the search and she's actually the driving force. I love the stuff with her and the lights in the house.
Me too.
Like how she's kind of decoding and like figuring things out. And she's like, I know I'm crazy, but I'm still going to do
this. She's the lead role from Close Encounters here. Yes. She looks crazy, but she's the one who actually has it all figured out. And she's the one trying to figure out how to communicate with this otherworldly force. And we, the viewer, know she's not crazy, or pretty sure.
Yeah. I mean, we know that she could be crazy, but it's understandable why she would be.
Yeah.
It was just also like really satisfying to see that they took three different groups. Mm-hmm. They have the mom and the chief, like kind of working together. They have the teenagers, and then they have the younger kids all working together. And they're all finding different elements of the truth and then working against the big bad, which is very much in line with Peter Coyote and E.T.
Oh, right. Sure,
mysterious government.
Well, the Duffer brothers are the guys who run this and who were involved with Wayward Pines. They're
right.
They said, they said when they were talking about this in an interview I saw, maybe with Alan Sepinwall, that
They were holding on to their good stuff.
Well, one of the reasons they could do this in a TV show, they couldn't do it in a movie. In a movie, they would have had to pick one of those point of views.
Yep.
They would have had to pick the kids or the parents or the teenagers. You couldn't do all of them. In a TV show, you can do all three points of view, and that's why this was both like everything we've ever seen and unlike those 80s movies that we saw.
It was expanded. Like, having eight episodes is enough to really let everything breathe and not rush it to where you have to throw in coincidences just to get the story done within the 2 hours.
Yeah.
And another good thing was making it only eight episodes instead of 12 or 13.
Yes. Because Netflix, much as I love them, always has those episodes where it's like, Okay, we didn't need that one.
Yeah.
Like Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones. I was going to bring that up. It's two episodes too long.
Yeah.
Three or four, man.
But yeah, the almost everything they've done, no matter how good it is, should have been a couple episodes shorter. So eight episodes. There was no point at which the pacing slowed down.
Right.
There was no point at which I was like, why did we see that story? It was all important.
And, you know, similar to Game of Thrones, I could rave about like every single character in this, like all the actors, especially the kids' performances. It's really impressive. But like two in particular, well, one name mainly, Millie Bobby Brown, which hilarious name.
Well, hilarious to me because we were watching it and they were like, yeah, she's over there. I'm like, why do they keep saying she? Isn't that a boy? We were convinced it was a boy up until the character 11, until she spoke.
Yeah,
I was
like,
oh, I guess it is a girl. Okay, never mind.
Well, that's because she was raised by people who didn't care.
Yeah.
They're like, dress her like a boy, cut her hair like a boy. Who cares? We don't care. She's not a boy or a girl. She's a weapon.
Yeah.
And she doesn't say a whole lot. No. So it's so much for a kid actor to just try and play everything with their facial emotions.
Yeah.
And she gets to kind of like fall back a little bit on being a little bit robotic, a little bit removed. But it was an amazing performance. Like,
oh, so good. Yeah.
All of the emotional weight is all right there. And I think she just did such a fantastic job.
She did.
Yeah. When she uses her telekinetic powers to snap the guard's neck the first time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's just such powerful. You see that rage and that the sort of awareness of what she can do. And then when it comes back, when she breaks the bully's arm and she's like in full possession of her powers, that's all in her expressions. None of that is spoken. It's all in the way the actress carries it. Yeah, she's great.
Well, they got good child actors for everybody there. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the characters had really distinct personalities.
Yeah.
You got to know them.
Dustin kid was hilarious.
Oh, Dustin was so good.
Oh, he was. Well, and especially toward the end where, you know, at first it seemed like, oh, he's the... You know, he seemed to be of the lesser intelligence in the beginning. Yeah. But by the end, he was the one like, guys, get your heads out of your asses. We got to work together on this.
Yeah,
he was the heart of the group.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was that guy.
He was the heart of the group, and he was the one that kept them fed.
Yeah.
Because we need our stamina, guys.
But I love just the bits between him and Lucas, how they had their own thing going back and forth with each other. And with that, it avoided a trap that... I know I see a lot of HBO shows fall into, most notably Entourage, where it would just sometimes, hey, while everything else is going on, we have the turtle and drama comedy bits on the side where they get into their misadventures.
Yeah.
And this could have done that and didn't. The two of them had a certain relationship, kind of a little bit combative back and forth, but they still stayed in the group. It never felt like it got away from them.
That and the Dustin character was just like, you know, we're not going to allow drama to sideline everything else. We're just going to go, hey, you know what? We have a thing in our group that we just shake hands. Get to shaking hands. Let's get over this real quick.
But I also, they did really show the kids being kids. Like,
oh, yeah.
They make bad decisions and that kind of thing, but it's not because they're dumb. It's because they're kids and they don't know how to deal with this stuff yet. I also thought the story of the teenage daughter, her and her boyfriend, the douchebag boyfriend, who turns out not to be the typical 80s douchebag.
I love that.
What a great turn.
That was a great turn.
I mean,
just when you have like, you know, like, okay, well, here's the one two-dimensional character.
Yeah.
It's like, no, not really.
No, he's the guy from Pretty in Pink, where it's like, oh, he's not so bad after all.
And the funny thing is, like, when he breaks the other dude's camera.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. I mean, that guy's in the brother is in the situation where his younger brother's missing.
Yeah.
But he's also creeping in the woods taking pictures of your girlfriend. And
it's true.
There's the photographic proof.
He didn't have to break his camera. He knew how important that was to him.
Yeah.
He could just expose the film.
He's also a douchey teenager.
Yeah.
I felt that was in line, and I'm like, it's not the worst thing in the world. He could have punched him, beat him up, shamed him in front of the school.
Yeah.
Instead, he just kind of drops the guy's camera and been like, don't be a creep.
By the way, I'd rather take the punch than have my equipment broken.
Yeah.
There was some pretty savage violence in this, whether the bullies turning out to have a knife and like they were going to make the kid jump off. I mean, that it escalated from like kid violence to real violence so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And when he beats up the teenage kid who's the older brother, when he beats up the boyfriend, it's pretty savage.
Yeah.
Like, he bloodies him bad.
Yeah. Jonathan Byers.
Jonathan Byers, yeah. There's it escalates to real violence, and the monster's legit scary.
Yeah.
As is Eleven when she's using her powers. It's pretty scary.
Mm-hmm.
So this monster, it felt kind of like Guillermo del Toro kind of thing, right? It was like, all right, you got the hands and the eyes or something, right? The eyes and the hands, rather.
So what's the creature's deal? Does it just eat people? Is it a vampire?
It looked like it kind of had a little bit of a five-way Venus flytrap head.
Yeah.
You know, I bet we're going to learn a lot more in season two.
I guess so. I guess that's what season two will be about, learning
there's,
more.
There's these other clues that they were dropping at the end, which, let's go ahead and talk about that.
Yeah.
As they're walking through the other side of the Shadow Realm, whatever they're calling it, Shadow Vale.
Mm-hmm. Upside down. The upside down.
They passed an egg that had been hatched. Yeah. So I was like, oh, are there more of these?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So we had that question at the beginning of the episode that I was reading, which was from Benjamin Hamill, who was asking, what would we want to see in a second season? And do you think we'd want to have a direct continuation of this season? I hope that they just continue exploring other oddities in this town, maybe more stuff from the research group, and they move away from the upside down dimension.
I would like that if they ignored the upside down dimension and discovered something else, but somehow the upside down tied back into it.
Yeah.
Toward
yeah.
the end.
Well, I mean, that would make sense. Don't you think it's pretty notable that when the rescued kid comes back that he spits out the little slug thing?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So he's still infected somehow.
Yeah. I think that's the way into season two. I just don't know what that means.
Right.
Because
Barb should turn into one of those things, right?
If Barb it's
falling a little
dead,
bit like
right?
aliens.
Yeah, she was just dead.
I think she's just dead.
But her tongue thing was that thing was still moving, like feeding off of her.
Oh.
And if there's an egg hatching, I don't know.
I have to believe she's dead because there was very little effort put into pulling her back over to our side.
Yeah. It was like, Barb, you're gone.
Yeah.
We had to have someone to show there's actual stakes, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if the worry I have about season two, both is because it's so well contained, but the more you bring these kids into it, it's gonna be hard to buy. Like, you don't want them to become experts. You don't want them to be Lethal Weapon 3-ing it where they're just making jokes about the whole thing that was serious in the first one.
Uh-huh.
So, and also,
they're all super ripped, like Rambo.
They've all become like the Frog Brothers and Lost Boys.
That's exactly what I was thinking about.
I'd kind of watch that, actually, think about it. If they're like the Lost Boys, if they're like the Frog Brothers, they think they're experts, but they're not.
Well, I'm just wondering, like, you know, these kids are going to grow. What are they going to look like by the time they come to a second
season? That's the other thing is, they're going to get older.
And, okay, so Eleven must still be around because Chief is dropping off sandwiches and Eggos for her.
I was wondering about that,
in a lockbox.
Yeah, because that moment where the limousine pulls up and it's kind of like, all right, get in the car, because he goes like, yeah, okay. And then...
So part of his negotiation to, like, instead of getting killed, they let him go down into the realm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the last episode, I figure he used to be an agent, an FBI man or something. And that was his past before he became a chief. So he said, you know what? I'll reenlist. I'll work with you guys. I have the skills. And you guys will have me in your back pocket to cover stuff up. But you got to let me go rescue this kid.
Huh.
Maybe.
And then they come pick him up. That just made it feel like he's in cahoots with them now. And so in the second season, he's going to be a bit more compromised, I guess, in how he might be able to help a situation.
Okay, maybe so. Yeah. I don't know. I'm glad that I have a hope that Elle is not dead, because I thought that that was a very good heroic sacrifice, but at the same time, I'm like, oh, I didn't want to go down that way.
She was too good a character.
Yeah.
Get rid of that boyfriend.
Yeah.
Well, you know, at the point where, what was it? What was his name? The one who had her at his house?
Oh, Mike?
Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Mike's like, when he's like, hey, you come live with us and my sister will be your sister.
Yeah, I was like, oh,
you're like, yeah, dude, she's dead.
we know how this is going. So at the end, at the very beginning, they foreshadow this monster because they're playing the D&D game.
Yeah.
And they're talking about the Decahedron.
Demogorgon.
Demogorgon.
Demogorgon, by the way, is not a monster. He's a deity from the deities and demigods. He's a demon prince. He like rules like level 7. He's got, you know what? Just go on.
Please.
Go on.
My eyes crossed. I was like, I don't know what's going on.
You have no idea how much I wish I could have called back to Teenage Randy and like pulled out all the stats. And I just don't quite have it in me. He's got an AC like 21 and 6 dice hit points.
Okay.
But anyway, they end up coming in contact with that monster. And at the end of the last episode, they're playing D&D again and they encounter the different monster. The tetrahedron, tetragorgon. That, I don't know what it was.
I don't know.
But I imagine there's going to be another monster if that was another foreshadowing.
What if D&D is causing everything?
Oh.
It's just like they said in the 80s.
Yep.
Jumanji.
Keep your kids away from Stop playing the game, kids. Robin Williams is going to come back. Keep playing the game, kids. We need our Robin Williams. So overall, what do you guys think of this as far as in the Netflix pedigree? Is this like one of your top shows?
Oh absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, this is definitely in the contention for my best new show of the year.
Right?
Yeah. I thought this was really great.
Yeah, it's a show that does nothing wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, if you were to say, like, what this, come on, it's got to be some flaws. I'm like, well, okay, maybe the effects weren't always top notch, but.
But even that feels like a deliberate choice?
Not really.
No, you don't think so?
No, no, because even some simple effects were kind of like a little, like, all right. But.
The hovering over the.
Yes.
I thought that was deliberate. I assume that was like to get the 80s effect of it all.
I feel like. It's
you see the cut lines all around his body.
Yeah, it's still distracting enough.
Yeah,
to where like even if you like start out like, oh, it'll have that 80s feel, and you'll look at it and go like, it's bugging me. I don't.
Yeah, that one in particular, I just remember going, oh, that looks weird.
Yeah,
yeah.
But outside of that, it was perfectly paced and acted and written, and it was everything. This is the kind of project that could have easily have not been good.
Yeah.
Or been like a Robert Rodriguez thing where it's such a love letter to his personal childhood that you're like, well, dude, that's nice for you, but I don't want to sit through this
for
8 episodes.
Yeah, it's like, hey, J.J. Abrams with Super 8,
yes.
This is how it's done.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what I thought. Because when I first started watching it, my daughter came in, she's like, are you watching Super 8 again? I'm like, no, but it's kind of like, imagine Super 8 as a TV series.
Yeah.
And that's how we
but done
watch that
really episode. Well.
Yes, exactly.
It's not just blowing Spielberg.
Yeah.
It's emulating all the best elements and combining them with everything else that you would want.
While blowing Spielberg.
Hey, Martin, thank you so much for joining us this week.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I'm glad I finally had a chance to do this. It was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And, stay tuned, folks, because we're going to be talking about more stuff, Comic-Con stuff related, over on Patreon.com. Patreon.com/TVDudes. You guys can sign up over there and hear a bonus exclusive episode. And, Martin, where else can people find you?
Oh, they can always find me on DoubleToasted.com. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, you can hit me up on Facebook or find me on Twitter at Martin_Nofro.
And you guys have a... You have an event coming up.
Oh, we have a huge event coming up. Our second anniversary party. It's going to be the weekend of October 12th, the 12th, 13th, and 14th. We're going to start with a meet and greet one day. Saturday will be a big party. And then Sunday we'll have an award show and a film contest. Matter of fact, if you are a fan of Double Toasted already, get your short film in. Just make sure it's 6 minutes or less.
Okay. I only have to do a 6 minute or less video.
Mm-hmm.
Deal. Randy, we got to get to work on this.
All right, let's do it.
All right. Well, thank you folks for tuning in once again to our episode. And until next week, Martin.
Stay toasty.
That'll work. The TV Dudes is an independently run podcast. It is exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and on Twitter at TV Dudes, and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.